Welcome back to another From the Stash podcast. I'm your host, James Davis McAllister, and today I have special guest Andy Dozer Atkins, mostly, I would say, known for his time with the band A Plea for Purging, the front man. Thanks for joining me, Andy. How you doing?
Dude, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great, man. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, and, you know, we're not known for snow or winter or anything like that, and currently, everyone is kind of just locked in their homes because we've gotten like 3 or 4 inches of like icy snow over the past few days. And so it's cold and slick out there, but I'm inside working on my computer. So it doesn't work. It doesn't matter too much to me, you know?
Right. That's, I hear you. Cause that's, I work, you know, out of the house and stuff. So it's no bother to me. I'm, you know, I live in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. So we're used to that crazy, craziness. Did you see Texas, that pileup?
Yeah, dude, that is insane. Like it,
I can't get out of my head.
Yeah. I watched it on the news a little bit and like to see, like there's a couple, video clips where a couple semis are actually nailing some cars pretty hard. And it was actually like, not to start this podcast off as a bummer, but it was like very heavy to see that and know that people were like losing their lives right then.
Yeah. That's why I can't get out of my head. No, it's this podcast's a roller coaster. My listeners know that, but it's a surreal. I went to YouTube last night and, you know, searched it because I'm a sick fuck, man. Like I have such a macabre mind. I don't know why, but I tend to be drawn towards the macabre and things like that. I don't understand it because it depresses me. And watching that, yeah, like the FedEx truck came through and hit, and you just see cars flying, man. And what's weird is there's no noise. It's so quiet and you just hear the crushing of steel, you know, and that's it. You don't hear cries of people, nothing. You just hear, you know, the crushing of steel. And it's just, you know, that people are losing their lives. And it's just, yeah, it's like, you know, when you're seeing death, it's just, how do you process that? And I don't know why I'm so obsessed with, you know, seeing that or wanting to be, you know, with the known of that, but do you have those inclinations? Like, are you ever curious? Like, oh, I want to research this video, like 9/11 videos, people jumping out of the buildings, things like that. Like, is that ever something that like you do, or am I just that fucked up in the head?
No, that's you. You're just fucked, dude.
I thought my mom called me that.
I'm just, I'm always thinking about mortality. I think about death every day. It's something that kind of terrifies me. I wish I was the type of person that could just live life and not be worried about it. And there's a lot wrapped up with that and like religiosity and, you know, life. But so I think about death a lot. So seeing people lose their lives, like when you're watching a movie and you see a bunch of people get shot and stuff, whatever, that's, we're just numb to that shit. But, man, seeing it in real life, like on like the real deal, it mortifies me and I hate it. So I try not to, like, usually when you hear those stories about like a shooter or bombings and all that stuff, and there's like stuff on the internet to see, I don't go search that stuff out because it really brings me down. I'm a sensitive boy.
Me too. Me too, man. I'm an emotional wreck. So, you know, I don't want to get into like the whole religion talk, but anybody who knows of you, they're going to know that Plea for Purging was arguably one of the biggest, if not still to this day, biggest hardcore Christian bands, I mean, ever. I know that I remember seeing you guys at Cornerstone back in the days, I think you had a shirt that said, Pleats Prada or something like that. I'll never forget that shirt. Dude. But so like what brought upon A Plea for Purging was that like your conviction in religion then, or was it just, you know, buddies getting together, you made a band and then you decided that that was going to be your message, or was it, you know, something that was constructed to be that message?
The longer answer to that story is, you know, I grew up, I won't say I grew up in church, but in my teenage years, like 13, 14 years old, something like that, I, even longer backstories that come from a crazy broken home with drugs and alcohol and addiction and single parent family and all this shit. But get into church in my teenage years, you know, start following Christianity. And also around that same time in my life, I get into playing music and playing drums in the school band and then getting a guitar and, you know, finding punk rock and hardcore and living this weird dichotomy in life where I'm getting into all these hardcore and punk bands, but also learning about this new religion and chasing this relationship with the Lord. And so those two things kind of intersect in me finding out about like Tooth & Nail and Solid State and Face Down and those record labels and all the bands involved in those labels. So it was like a perfect storm all around, you know, my formative years. But fast, you know, so I started, I've been in a number of bands, you know, every kid has started so many bands as, you know, a teenager. But none of them very successful, but I did start touring for a little while, in a couple of those bands. And then, fast forward to Plea for Purging. I didn't start the band. They started without me and had a different singer. And I joined up, probably a year after they had already started, but they were their same story with all of those dudes, young kids, church kids that got into listening to Solid State Records. And so, yeah, we all just wanted to, it was very more a clear picture of what we wanted in the beginning. You know, it was that stereotypical Christian metalcore, hardcore, like the same thing that when you think of Christian metalcore, you think of the band that plays, all the spiritual warfare songs where everything is like battleground related, and then
for today, yeah, for today,
then, like the right before the very last song, you stand up and you say, like, we love Jesus and we want you to love Jesus. And it's just this, it's a carbon copy of every other band that's always done it. And we believed in that, and we, you know, that was our goal in the beginning. We weren't just trying to be someone else. But I think after being on the road for a little while and also growing up on the road, playing shows every single night of the year and like meeting new people and having new experiences and, you know, just learning more about ourselves within the world, your thoughts change on, and I can only speak for myself. Anything I say in these interviews and podcasts about A Plea for Purging, I need to say is only my, thought and where I'm at. I can't answer for those guys, as far as like their religious state or brains, you know, but, you just start becoming a different person and learning new things and figuring out what you truly believe or what you're not sure you believe. And with all that being said, I was really lucky that my band members, our fans, and the record label that we had signed to, Face Down Records, really let me explore the inner depths of like my dark mind and what was going on with me during those years. And to answer the broader question, like, we started out very much as a Christian, you know, disciple type of band trying to go out and win souls for the Lord or whatever. And in our time, it became more of an outlet for me to talk about what's going on within my head and my soul as opposed to trying to save someone else's, if that makes sense. And
no, it
does. I think
it does. That makes
sense. I think it yielded a way, more honest and, transparent, art at the end, you know. And I was really lucky to be able to say some of the stuff I said. And I've made a lot of friends and relationships off of that. And I'm stoked that we did all that shit.
So, would it be safe to say that? And correct me if I'm wrong, that A Plea for Purging, you was it stopped because of falling out of religion yourself or as a band, or was it stopped? Is it just, you know, because maybe the funds weren't there, or, you know, why was A Plea for Purging? Why is A Plea for Purging not around now?
Dude, it just ran its course. The bands, gotcha. You know, like I said, it started without me, but I joined pretty early on, and we started as a five piece, and through the years lost a couple dudes. But there were like four of us. There were four main dudes that were there the whole time. And I hate to sound cheesy or whatever, but it was truly a brotherhood that, like, those three other dudes and the two other guys that were in throughout the years. Like, so there's six of us total that had been in the band at any given time.
That's not bad, honestly. Most bands have like 10.
Yeah, right. And so, like, we're all seriously best friends, brothers. Like, we're all in group texts that talk to each other still all the time. Blake, who was the guitar player, lives down the road from me. We see each other like multiple times a week. Like, so everything ended on a totally awesome family basis. And what happened is, you know, through the years, we were very honest and open about our individual goals for our lives and for the band. And if the scale ever tipped in the way where it didn't make sense for the band to be a thing anymore, we weren't going to do it. And so everybody just started like chasing their own lives a little bit with wives and new career aspirations. And one day, Aaron, our drummer, was the guy that pretty much called it. He was like, "Hey, I'm thinking about leaving the band. You know, you guys do with that information what you want." And we weren't going to do it without him anymore. And so it just made sense. You know, like, I would way rather hang out with my three best friends every day and get on stage for 45 minutes a night and have people yell our words. You know, like, that in the perfect case scenario is the best thing that you could ever do in your life every single day. I loved it. And, like, at the end of the band, it probably didn't seem like that. Some of my lyrics were pretty self-deprecating and, like, oh, woe is me. In the greater of all of it, like, I loved it. But I'm 39 now, and I look back. That was, like, 8 or 9 years ago that we quit the band. I didn't make enough money then doing that thing to afford the life that I have with my wife right now. And the only way to, you know, for it to have kept going was for us to, like, make enough money for it to make sense. And I hate that, like, everything has to come down to money. But it's just true, you know, like, you have to pay your bills. And, like, if I'm going to be on the road for anywhere from 150 to 300 days a year, not seeing my wife, it needs to be financially lucrative and viable to make sense. And it just didn't anymore. So we all called it quits and started doing other stuff, you know.
That's for listeners, that's a thing a lot of people don't understand. They see you and they think some rock star lifestyle stuff like that, but what they don't understand, especially with the genre of, you know, hardcore metalcore and stuff like that, there's not a lot. I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to change your genre, like Asking Alexandria did and stuff, if you want to make it a career. It's just the facts. That's just how it is. I'm sorry. August Burns Red is one of 10,000 that gets lucky enough to make it. Being able to stay true to that heavy ass, you know, style. I mean, it's so rare, and it is a shame that it comes down to that, because, you know, I feel that the metalcore and the hardcore scene, I think the message and the purpose behind that music is so much better and a better influence on a community as a whole than this fucking bullshit garbage mainstream music. And, you know, it's people like, oh, it's this rock star, but they don't understand. You guys sleep in parking lots. You guys don't get to shower for weeks at a time. Sometimes you guys live on like $5 a day stipends to eat food. And, you know, it's, people think it's glorious and stuff. And, you know, and I know that I myself, I've done a little touring, nothing like you. I've never done any like extensive touring like that. And I know just the little regional stuff touring I did. I mean, it was exhausting. It was fun. I loved it. But, you know, it's hard back to the financial thing, it's hard for bands, especially with labels, and because labels, they just, especially with that style of music, for them to maximize their, you know, profits, they got to take full advantage of the band. And that's just how it is for them to function. Like, if you could go back, would you do it again? And would you do it a different way? Like, to try to make it fine? Would you change your genre maybe more to like a butt rock, you know, like a Seether, you know, Shinedown type of style? Or would you, you know, so you could be doing it now financially, or would you just, you know, keep it the same? And I know that's a hard question because you aren't going to go back and change anything. But would, like, is it something you look back at and you're like, damn, man, we could have changed our genre a little bit and we'd still be on the road, us best friends and shit?
Man, I don't know. That's hard to say because, like, you know, I'm a believer in, like, every – it's all, like, a puzzle or – I'm trying to get to, like, where I'm at right now. Like,
yeah, what are you doing now?
Well,
yeah.
Like, what I'm saying is, like, the culmination of all my past experiences led to, like, this very second of me and you talking, right? So the
very
reason
true.
That I have the wife that I have is because I was in a shitty metalcore band that toured with a hardcore band that was from Minnesota that was best friends with my wife. And so, like, it's those kind of things. Like, if you were to go back and, you know, the whole Back to the Future thing where you
right.
go back and you change something, it can change the whole world, you know? And that's a funny, like, fictitious way to think about it, but it truly is, you know? And so I have some amazing friendships and some amazing, like, memories that, like, if any of that were to have changed Pat a different direction, I might not have what's the most important to me in my life right now. You know, so that's the bigger,
yeah, that makes sense.
That's a bigger existential way of thinking about it. But, like, yes, I mean, like, the one thing I do got to say about playing music and making a living off of it, and I wouldn't have said this when I was 15 listening to punk and hardcore, but now that I'm an adult that has to pay bills, like, I don't believe in selling out. I don't believe that there's anything wrong with playing. Let's say you're a punk rock kid and you can make $100,000 a year playing backup guitar for Dan and Shay or something, a country band. Like, do that. Like, there's nothing wrong
yes,
with it. If
yes.
you can do the thing that you enjoy to do and make a living doing it, there's nothing wrong with that. The sellout thing or whatever where it gets all sketchy is when you're pretending to be something you're not, you know, or whatever. But, like, with all that being said, yeah, if there was some way for us to mold ourselves into being something else and to be able to keep going and play music as a viable career, I would have loved that, man. I just don't think we were, like, you know, there's a glass ceiling on what we were doing. Like you mentioned before, like, metalcore has already got its own glass ceiling. But then also, like, with me being a pretty fat, like, not very, like, marketable in the, and, you know, I'm not trying to be self-deprecating, but just I'm very self-aware.
No, you're being honest. Like, you're being honest.
Not being your stereotypical, attractive, like Tim Lambesis, if you want to say, like, that's what
right. All right.
Like.
Danny Warstop.
And
yeah.
So we already had even a lower glass ceiling than what a band like August Burns Red or Asley Dying or somebody would have had. So it would have made sense for Plea, and I told them a number of times while we were bands, I felt like their musicianship was insane. And, like, if they would have moved on without me and got somebody, you know, that fit that role, they could have maybe been a career metal band. Cause I think that the dudes that played music in our band were some of the best. Like, I think that I was able to scream over some music that was a lot better than a lot of the other bands out there. And that might sound pretty cocky to say, but I'm not saying it because of me. I'm saying because
I mean,
believe
it's true,
in those
though.
Dudes and the shit that they wrote, you know?
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, though, Andy. Don't be so hard on yourself, man, because I'll put a twist on it. you have an aura about you. You might be this big guy or whatever, man, but I myself is a male and, you know, a straight male. No, I'm not looking at you for any of that, right? I'm looking for you for your talent, your aura, your words. And there's a connection I had with you. You didn't know that. You didn't know who the fuck I was. But I connected with your words because I could relate to them, and you were good at it. So, like, don't beat yourself up too much because you got to where you were because of your talent, too. I mean, let's be honest, man. A band, you know, rises and falls with their vocalist. It's that fucking simple. The vocalist is the band, and that's the truth. And as far as, like, marketability and making it to something, you know, the musicians can be the best in the world. If the vocals are not good, or, you know, on point, are attracted to bring people in, that band's not going to do it. I mean, Animals as Leader, that's different. You know, there are, you know, instrumental bands, but, you know, vocals are the driving force for a band to, you know, be successful or not. And I mean, so don't beat yourself up too much, because especially in a genre of being pretty boys, you know, the girl jeans and this, that, and the third, you guys were still able to, you know, be at the top of that food chain, you know, and for, you know, quite a while. I mean, honestly, so don't beat yourself up too much, man. But with that said, what are you doing now, dude? Like, what do you do for work now, if you don't mind me asking?
I feel like everything that I, every answer I have has to be this long-winded, like, long answer thing.
It's fine, dude.
My life is just that complicated or that simple that it makes sense. But, like, with the bands, you know, when I was 13 years old, all I wanted to do was play music. So, like, that was the only dream I chased, and I accomplished it. I've traveled all over the world and went to, like, 19 countries, and I did it. But in that, I didn't try to suss out any backup plan. I was living every minute I could devoted to what we were doing. So when we got out of the band, I think I was 30 years old, maybe 30, 31. Like, it was literally hitting the ground running, trying to figure out what I was going to do, with no skill and no craft and no education. You know, like, I'd worked a bunch of random jobs throughout my life, but nothing that I could, like, fall back on. So I've done everything. I've started over a number of times. I've had so many different jobs, and, like, my whole thought process on life and working is, as long as you have a work ethic and you're willing to eat shit, you can build your life into whatever you want it to be, really. I mean, within reason. And I, you know, there's that whole, you can be anything you want to be, but I'm not going to be an astronaut, you know, right now. You know what I mean? Like, and everybody's right, got different right. hurdles yeah. and we could talk about race and all of that stuff. But to make it concise, I believe if you work pretty hard, you can have a pretty good life, no matter if it's digging ditches or being a software engineer or whatever. So I worked a number of jobs over and over and over, started over. I'm from Nashville, and we moved to Minnesota. So that was like another rebirth and a start over. And we lived there for about 3 years, and it was way too cold. So now we moved back to Nashville, and that was another start over. Anyway, 3-4 years ago, I landed into what probably would be my career for the rest of my life, which is staging and production for, like, live concert events. So it's basically being in the music industry, but behind the scenes. It started with me going and setting up actually the stages, like, the, you know, you're going to see Zac Brown Band, the stage that they are standing on. So not the lights, not the audio, not the video screens, but the actual platform that they're standing on. The company that I worked for would design that stuff, fabricate it and make it and send it out on the road. And guys like me would go out on the road and set it up. So I was doing that for a while, and then toured a little bit doing that with a couple bands, and then came off the road again and managed the shop. So I managed a crew of 13 people, and we would rent out gear, and those guys would go out on the road and set up stuff. And That was a very it was the most lucrative thing I've ever done, and the most adult job situation that I've ever found myself in. And then COVID hit, and nothing's ever affected the music industry and the live entertainment industry like COVID ever before. Like in the first week that COVID hit in 2020, the first week, the live entertainment industry lost something like $26 billion with a B, $26 billion, because of all the tours canceling. So needless to say, like, it's a longer story, but I don't do that anymore. And it's kind of a blessing in disguise because, I didn't really enjoy it, but it was, I would have never left it because I was making, real adult money, like the, you know, still way less, you know, still just middle class American money, but like,
right. But to you, that's like being rich coming from what you're doing
and
with
I
the
grew
band
up
you
in
know?
A trailer park. Like I grew up poverty. So,
I just got out of
sick,
there.
Dude. And so like, I really felt, like on top of the world financially with that. But the reality is like the guy that was my path would have been moving on to being a salesman. And I'm getting phone calls at like, it was a 24 hour a day kind of thing. You're always on call. So it might be 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. And I get a phone call from one of the guys that's out on the road that has some issue. And they're fielding that question to me. And then I have to in turn call the guy above me, which is the account manager or salesman, at 2:30 in the morning to get his opinion. And so that dude's like 60 years old. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm 56 years old, taking phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, like, I don't want that. I don't want to be doing this, you know, like, but I would have kept doing it. Sorry, I keep rambling. I would have done it forever just because like,
no, you're fine.
I'm a dedicated dude and I try to work hard and it was my best bet. COVID hit and I lost that job. And since then, so April, May of last year, I left that job and I haven't had a real job since then. And so what it's caused me to do is, really just, I've always wanted to be my own boss ever since the band, because basically in a band, you're just your own boss. The only people you have to answer to are the three other dudes you're on the road with. So I'm just trying out a bunch of crazy shit that I've always wanted to do, and none of it's really paying me any money. But I'm able to supplement my income a little bit with me and a buddy. Me and a few buddies go out and build fences and decks and stuff like that. So doing a lot of handyman work to actually pay my bills. But what I'm soaking all, I'm investing time and what little money I have into working on motorcycles, which is a huge passion of mine. And then also documenting that and shooting like a YouTube show about it. It's the YouTube channel is called Party On Forever. And it's not,
we'll link it.
Cool.
We'll link it below.
And it's not so much, it's not so much like gonna be a motorcycle thing. I could get into how deep it is, like with the algorithms and SEO and stuff that like you pretty much have to pick a niche and like run with it to get attention.
Podcasting's a lot like that.
My audience is coming to me for the motorcycle stuff, but the reality is the greater idea of the whole channel and what I'm trying to do is, one, I have to admit that I'm self-aware and I'm 39 and I know that I'm not going to overnight become some huge YouTuber, right? That's funny that like 12-year-old kids, you ask them what they want to do and they're like, I want to be a YouTuber. get the irony in all of it, but I'm not thinking that I'm going to be some huge YouTuber. starting over damn near 40 years old. But the idea is that if I can work on bikes and do some decks and stuff like that, all these little different hustles, as well as put some YouTubes up on, or some videos up on YouTube and sell a few t-shirts on my online store, that I'll have all these various revenue streams that make me just enough money to where I don't get burnt out doing just one thing. And the, but the greater idea of the channel, sorry, I get sidetracked, is like, it's not so much I'm trying to talk about motorcycles on the internet. I'm trying to do this right here, exactly what you and me are doing right now. Like, I miss the side product of being in a band is meeting new people, having genuine, thoughtful conversations about damn near anything. Like, I don't really want to do the, hey, man, how you doing? How's the weather? Like, you catch the game last night? Like, I don't
care anything about. I want to thank McAlpine Meadery for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast, located at 10035 Johnsford Road, Beach City, Ohio, 44608. Phone number 330-756-5019. Again, 330-756-5019. They take passion in brewing high-quality European-style artisan honey wine known as mead. It's available in 87 retail stores. It's also available in 36 different states to your front door. You can order online at www.mcalpinemead.com. Again, that's www.mcalpinemead.com. Hours of operation, Wednesday 4 to 10, Friday 4 to 12, Saturday 12 to 12, bands Fridays and Saturday nights. Thanks again to McAlpine Meadery for sponsoring this episode of From the Stash Podcast. Now on to the show, folks.
About small talk.
Yeah.
But like, you know, within the first like 2 minutes of getting on this call, we were talking about death and mortality. It was that's heavy, and every single person can do that. But I really want to have at the end of my life to have learned a whole lot of shit from a whole lot of people, and hopefully given back to those people some way. And that's the whole thing behind all of this wacky Party On Forever stuff. So it's not so much motorcycles, as the motorcycle thing is really just a catalyst to get people to me. And then like I can, it's more of an encouraging people to try to learn new things. I get a lot of new riders, new motorcyclists watching my stuff that they're coming to me to learn how to like change some motorcycle part on their bike, but really I'm not so much trying to teach them that as the overall thought of trying new things and not being afraid to fail. Because if you fail, all you got to do is pick yourself back up and figure that shit out, you know?
Yeah, well, like with the COVID thing, long story short, because my listeners have heard this story many times, I have severe back issues and my legs are starting to fail me in a sense. And I was booking shows full time and COVID hit. I started the podcast around May. Cause I'm like, shit, what the fuck am I going to do? I can't go stand for more than 30 minutes at a time before I have to sit down. I dropped out of high school to tour with the band. I have no formal education other than small amount of, vocational culinary school, which I've done. I've been a sous chef, shit like that, but I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? So I get that sentiment wholeheartedly. And that's why we're talking right now, the podcast. I don't make a killing off of this. You know, I do have monthly subscriptions. It's like Twitch, yeah. You know, people can pay monthly. And like, so, I mean, I'm not making it. Right now I'm making like $100 a month from the podcast. Complete transparency. I have like a sponsorship, stuff like that, but I'm not at a level. I get like sometimes 600 to 700 listeners, AI episode, but it depends. So I'm not at the level right now to be like, hey, you got to pay X amount of dollars. And like, have you thought about podcasting, man? Cause you're a natural front man or I'm a front man. We're naturally, I don't know how to word it the right way. We're naturally entertaining. Like, and we could talk to people and stuff. Have you considered doing like a podcast, man? Cause you got connections, huge connections, bro. You could bring on Mike Hironica, shit like that.
I actually think about it all the time. And I've said publicly like 100 times, I'm starting a podcast and I still haven't.
Do it,
but
dude.
Actually, I am trying to move in that direction. Like the YouTube channel right now, the majority of the videos are me standing in my garage talking about motorcycles. But I've just recently, in the last week, just for fun, no, very low production value, just started going live streaming and like just turn on the stream and talk to the camera and people ask me questions through the comments. And just to feel the vibe of if people enjoy anything like that. And also currently, like right before you call me, I'm editing a video that it is just pretty much an interview video of me and a dude talking and hanging out. Corey from Memphis Mayfire, if you know that band. He's one of my best.
Yeah,
buds.
Absolutely.
So like, and I'm going to mix that down to be, you know, just an interview video. And thinking about with all these live streams and those type of videos is also, I'll probably start bouncing that audio down and try to start putting out a podcast and focus my efforts there too. Like the hard part is like with all these various hustles and things, it's hard to dedicate enough time to all of them, especially because like I said, I'm 39, right, man. Like when I was 20, I could hustle all day, dude. And I could, you know, I could sleep.
I hear you. I'm 34, yeah,
dude,
almost 34. I hear you,
hours,
dude.
Dude, like I go to bed normally at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. Last night I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning working on this video edit and had all these crazy computer problems and then woke up at 8 o'clock this morning. So I did 5 hours of sleep and like, I feel pretty fucking crazy right now because that's not like my life, but I'm trying to make myself get back to a schedule like that for a little while because I believe in all this stuff I'm doing enough that I think it's worth doing. I don't know if it's ever going to be like hugely lucrative or not, but like, I mean, in full like transparency, I am working and trying to make it happen where I can sit at my computer and talk to people and stand in front of my camera and talk to people for a living. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but if I never have to go build another fence or another deck again, that would be amazing. But I don't, you know, I don't know. We'll see like how the, you know, it all goes back to the scales and which way it tips. And what sucks is I make way more money in a couple of days going and building the fence than the countless hours. Like this video that I'm editing that I'm going to put up probably tomorrow, I have so many hours put in this thing. And when it's all said and done, like I will make fractions of dollars off of it. Like I barely just hit the AdSense, you know, I'm on AdSense YouTube now. So yeah.
Oh, you are. Congratulations, man. That's
there,
hard.
Like,
that's hard to
the
do.
Last couple weeks. So that's a good, you know, oh, I like transparency and I'm okay to talk about money. Like I hit the YouTube AdSense thing about 3 weeks ago or something. I don't know the exact date, but it's been within the last month. And I haven't even hit $100 off that yet. I think I'm somewhere around $70 off of all those ads.
That's not bad, man. Honestly, that, yeah, it'll take time to grow, but once it does, dude,
that's
it's, you know, it'll
and, you know,
snowball.
And, like, people buy shirts from me and stuff too. I have like an online store. So like, you know, right now these are very small supplemental incomes that add to the pot, but hopefully let's say within a year, it pays half of my bills. You know, that's a good, achievable goal. I think to say that like YouTube could probably, and maybe if I get the podcast thing going, like it could pay half my bills, maybe, you know?
I'm telling you, man, like Mike Karanika even started a podcast and stuff, but like what I'm getting at is you're resourceful, man. You're a smart guy. You have, and I hate to say this, don't take it so wrong, like take advantage of the relationships you've made in the music scene, because I could tell you right now, me interviewing you, and don't take this the wrong way, you're not the most popular guy in the world. This is going to get a lot of attention. if imagine bringing on, you know, I don't know, Jake Lors I'm trying to think, you know, someone of that stature or somebody that's in Memphis Mayfire, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest, they're popping. Still this day, they're arguably a top 10, you know, metalcore band. I mean, Andy, it's a matter of time, because what you can do with podcasts is you go to companies and be like, hey, I'll do an ad read for you for X amount of dollars, blah, 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 blah. And like with the guests that you'd be bringing on, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm sitting here thinking if I were Andy, you know, you could say they're going to want to sponsor your podcast. Like you're going to have no issue at all finding sponsors. And the thing with podcasting too, is I didn't realize this until I got into it. It makes the music scene look like it doesn't exist. It is so much bigger. It's the biggest, they say it's the big, I do believe it's the biggest form of entertainment in the world. There is such a huge, huge community. I mean, it's endless. And I didn't know that, because honestly, I kind of wanted to do a podcast, but you know, I was doing the booking thing and stuff, and I was like, I don't have time for it or whatever. And when I got into it, I was like, holy shit, this is like 10 times the music scene. And navigating through it has been interesting, you know, learning new marketing schemes, et cetera. But it sounds like you're on your way, man. And I think you should definitely, you know, pursue the podcasting, man. Cause like I said, I mean, you, with what I use an app called Anchor, and it's sponsored. Well, it's ran by Spotify, and I have those monthly subscriptions. They take $0, bro. They don't take any of my money, like at all. I just cash out. That's it. They take nothing, bro. They take 25 cents when you cash out your money. So like, that's all just straight, you know, money, you know, to you. Like, and I know with you, cause you have so many supporters already and stuff like that. I mean, just imagine if each one of them, yeah, 99 cents a month.
That'd be sick.
Like, yeah, you'd be your own boss, man. What music are you listening to nowadays? Like, do you, what's your go-to? You're sitting there, maybe you're editing a video and it's not, you don't have to hear the audio or whatever. You're just chilling. Like, what do you pop in to listen
to?
Like, what's your jam right now?
So I'm literally going to like pull up my recently played so I can be honest to you.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times people will just like say, I do this, but I'd rather be honest and just let you know. So, I actually just recently added the band Junip, which is like, they're kind of somewhere between folk and psychedelic, but I was watching Walter Mitty, that movie Walter Mitty, and there was a cool
yes.
song, and I was like, what is this song? And I found this band called Junip, so I've been listening to them a lot over the last few days. Modern Life is War, which has always been one of my favorites. I love that band Mind Force, the record Excalibur. That I think it came out probably like 3 or 4 years ago, but that's one of my most like, I think it's one of the best modern like thrash hardcore bands to have come out in like the last 20 years.
I'm not familiar.
Sure where they're from, but they sound like Texas thrash, you know, like Power Trip kind of thing. Dude, Balance and Composure all the time. Love them. I listen to a lot of Neil Young. Cage the Elephant. I'm just going through the list. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I'm all over the place, but I do love a lot of I feel like there's two ways to go when you're like an ex scene kid, which I still listen to a lot of. Like, what got me into music was like alternative grunge, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, Nirvana, that stuff. So I still jam all that,
right? Pearl Jam,
and then I still listen to all the like hardcore bands that got me into hardcore. But when you get in like your 30s and stuff and you get out of the scene, I feel like there's two ways to go. There's going into like stoner, like Black Sabbath and The Sword and those kind of bands, Torch, which I love all of that stuff and listen to all that stuff. And then there's going like the indie rock route. and listening to all the, you know, indie stuff. And I like some of that stuff too. So, man, you know, I could probably talk music all day long of just all the different shit I listen to, but.
Right. Pretty shitty question to ask a musician, but, you know, because it's like, I mean, what do you want
like,
me to
what
say?
What sucks, and I would be completely honest, is like, I do listen to less music with less intensity and attention now than I ever have before in my life.
I hear you. Yeah, it's hard for me to listen to. It depresses me, honestly. If you want me to be 100%
hard
honest,
for me, because like,
makes me depressed.
I have a record player with like a decent record collection, nothing crazy, but you know, 300 or 400 records or something. And like, I never. It's in a room that I never go in. It's like the room that my wife works out of now, because she works from home because of COVID. Like, I never go in that room. I never turn on records in there anymore. So the only time I have a chance to listen to music is like when I'm working in the garage or if I'm in here on the computer working on stuff. But the hard part is when I'm working in the garage and I'm shooting video, I can't listen to music because that music will pick up on my video and I will copyright, you know,
copyright.
So I get fucked there. And then when I'm trying to like listen to music while editing, it throws me off, so I usually turn it off. And then when I'm driving down the road, I usually listen to podcasts because that's my time to like learn something new. So it sucks. I kind of don't listen to music that much, and I really miss it. But it's that whole thing of what we were talking about earlier. Like, where's the time that you fit it in your life, you know?
Yeah, I do. I mean, me, fortunately, I still do the music thing, and I still am booking shows. Not nearly as many, but I still am booking. But so I'm forced to listen to music, and I run an artist development, a little small artist development. And, you know, I call it a nonprofit because I don't charge the bands or anything. And I do what a manager, you know, I make them EPKs, do graphic work for them, help set up shows for them, you know, yada, yada. And, you know, if people ask, why you do it for, I was like, because I'm building a resume right now for my future, you know, so taking on these artists, doing these things for free, as people say, it's like, well, I'm building into my future so that the next time, you know, Rise Records needs an AR rep or Interscope Records or whatever needs an AR rep, I can be like, here's my resume. But it's sad, man. Because I used to be a front man. And again, I was never on your level of success, but I had some success, and it depresses me, man, because with my physical condition, I'm a wild boy on stage, you know, and like that was my therapy, and my physical condition doesn't really allow me to be able to do that anymore. Even if because I still make music here and there, my boys in Oceans of Atrophy, shout out to them. We turned 11 this year, but like, we don't, you know, we all got kids, we're all grown up and shit, but it's, long story short, cause I'll fucking never stop talking about it. It's just so depressing. And I hate that I feel that way listening to it. And it's, you know, one thing that is rewarding to me though, is there are a few bands around here, and artists and things like that. And one in particular, Letters to a Liar, is their name. Love those guys. They're a band because they followed my band Oceans, right? They were in high school, and you know, we were that high school was in, we were that band in that town. Yeah. And you know, the boys. And so seeing them grow and helping them grow, I didn't think I'd be this way. I figured I might have been jealous or something, but I'm not. I'm the complete opposite. I feel rewarded and stuff. It's nice to see it, you know, it gives me a little hope, but it's, I don't know why it's so depressing to me anymore. Maybe because I know that I'll never be able to ultimately live my ultimate dream of being that guy on stage every night. But right, so it's kind of weird. Yours is because you don't have the time, essentially. Mine is, you know, the opposite. Like, it's because I can't, you know, it's just so weird. It's like polar opposites, but we still are in the same boat that we both don't listen to music that much, you know, as much as we used to.
I mean,
to.
It's you know, really weird. You know, rebuttal to what you're talking about with like being bummed about it. Like, you know, and also I think you hold our band in a higher regard than what we really were. We really weren't that big in the grand scheme of things, but we also did, you know, I don't downplay that we had some really amazing opportunities and did some really, you know, huge shit. like the way I look at it, you know, what you did do, like the music that you got to play and you got to create music with your friends and play shows, and then that influenced other people, whether that was to start their own bands or your lyrics connected with your fans, like whatever. Like, I could look back right now and be like, man, I'm so bummed that like I'm not still doing that. Or I can like look at it as when I was 13, I went to a show and I saw some dudes in black t-shirts and black jeans and Vans get out of their like 15 passenger vans and go in to a club and play a venue to like 100 people. And that to me was the coolest thing in the entire world. I was like 13 and I saw this 100 kids in a shitty little room. And I was like, I want to do that one day. And dude, I did it. And like, you did it. And like, to me, that's insane that like, how you said you're like in your early 30s, 33 or something, 34. Like,
I'll be
so
34 this year.
to be this young in our lives and to have already accomplished that dream, you know, and maybe I did it on a larger scale than you. And I don't know exactly what your intentions were and what you wanted out of it, but the simplest way I can think about it is if you had something you wanted to do when you were younger and you accomplished it, that's only, you should only look back at that with pride and like, you know, gratitude that it ever happened. You know, that's the way I feel. I could be way more bummed that I never made
Yeah,
it to actually dying status,
well,
but I'm just
right.
so stoked that it ever happened.
You know, I am. You're right, man, and I appreciate you saying that. I do look at that. I don't want people to get it thrown away, get it twisted. The main factor that goes into it is I've had offers to be vocalist of bands and shit like that, and it's my physical, ailments, illnesses that ultimately, I mean, I could do it. I could, but man, I'm gonna have to be on OxyContin or something. And I don't want that, to be able to actually physically, stand on my legs and shit. And I don't want that, man. I don't want to go down that road. Then it's saddening because it was therapeutic to me. And I know you can relate to that. It was, I have a lot of mental illnesses, man. I'm fucked in the head, bro. Like r really, really bad. But, I've been able to manage it. Now, growing up, so it was drug use, just straight up drug use, hardcore fucking drugs and medication, shit like that. Now I'm 33. I had a kid. I grew the fuck up. It's, I don't, I smoke pot at night to sleep and I take a supplement called Kratom. But, it's, I don't even know like where I'm trying to get with it. It's just, it kind of sucks, man, but it, I, the way I look at it, man, I wouldn't be talking to you, and I wouldn't be doing this and then this and, and so yeah, you're right. There's a problem, man. I'm a fucking crybaby sometimes. And sometimes I do get in a woe is me type of state, but I try not to express that because I don't want people to feel bad for me. But I'm like I was telling you, I'm an emotional wreck. So I always overthink things, and overanalyze, I psychoanalyze
I feel
everything.
that, dude.
So that's my problem, dude. But
I
I appreciate you
am
saying that because
in
that
my
does help.
head all the time. I get that. Like, that's the thing that's crazy. Like, my wife Rachel, gosh, she's such a positive, nice, and like easygoing person. Like, she just doesn't like fret or think about all the big like questions in life. Like, she has a job. She has a job that she
Yeah,
loves.
my fiance is
Like,
the same way.
she feels
Yeah.
like you know, and it's just like a normal job, like not some crazy thing that you'd be passionate about. She like worked her way up through like customer service into being like on the office management team at this, you know, company she works for. And it's like, but she loves the community she works with and the people that her coworkers, and she loves her friends and she loves me, and that's enough. Like, and she doesn't think about the deep, dark shit of like, where are we gonna go when we die? And you know,
Yeah.
dude,
Oh, don't you
I
wish you could be
am
like that
all the
sometimes?
time, she will go, what are you thinking about? And I'll say, dude, like, I can tell you about 20 things right now because my brain, in the last 30 seconds, I
Oh,
get
shit.
like 20 different things that, because I've never been diagnosed with any kind of ADD or ADHD, and I don't really think I have that. So I'm not really saying that, but like, to me, I don't want to diminish people that really have it, but like, there's something in my brain that it's wired all fucked up, and I'm all over the place thinking about so many huge existential problems all the time. All the time.
Yes. Yeah. It sucks, because with this podcast, man, sometimes that's my problem, you know. I'm the same exact way. So sometimes I struggle. If I have a boring guest, or if I have someone I'm just not that into, and I try not to bring people on the show that I'm not into. Actually, I really don't, but if for some reason or another, I'm not engaged in a conversation or whatever, it gets to a point where I'm just like staring at a wall, and then I'm waiting for them to stop talking. And then I'm like, huh, what, you know? And so I've struggled from that. In fact, I had 16 episodes. This, you'll be like, I'm not sure when I'm going to release this. It'll be within like a week, this episode will be out. Long story short, I had 16 episodes prior to this new booting of the podcast, and I'm up to like, I think I've released 10 episodes, right, but I had 16 I deleted, got rid of them because of that reason of I was either over talking the guest, or I'm fucking scatterbrained. Like I'm on meth or something, you know, like I wasn't happy with it. So I relate to that very well, man. Like, I'm so scatterbrained, you know, and that's why I've, you know, because, you know, since I very first started this podcast, yeah, you're one of the first people I reached out to almost a year ago. In May, it'll be like a year. So I didn't want to bring you on until, and I remember telling you that, until I was established and ready and could give you the proper, you know, interview, even though I don't even I don't consider this an interview. I consider
would have done the
just
very first one, man. I don't care like that. So, yeah. I try to.
I know you were down. I know you were down.
I try to say yes to almost anybody that asked. Like, and it's not because I'm like, one, I love hearing myself talk, and that's
no,
true.
Good on you.
But like, I just love like real connection with new people. Like, you know, like at the end of this day, whether we ever talk to each other again or not, like this was like a really important like conversation to me for real. Just because like it's two dudes that don't know each other sharing some real fucking shit, you know, like that's cool to me. So like,
yeah,
and it sucks because like I have a ton, you know, I don't know how dudes that have a really huge following deal with this. And I guess they just don't answer everybody, but I try to message and back every single person that messages me and comments me on all of my different socials. And it's very taxing, and time consuming. But also I want all of those relationships to feel just as important and genuine as the next one, you know?
Yeah, I do. You know, with this podcast, I swear damn near every single guest I've had after the show, there's always been a relationship, and I'm naturally an easy person to get along with, but I've noticed that with these conversations about people that I care about or looked up to, such as yourself in the scene growing up and stuff, when I get to talk to them and, you know, learn spirit stuff, it just creates a natural bond that is, I don't know if it's meant to be or what it may be, and not to be corny or whatever, but it's just like, it's, you know, after this conversation, you know, I'm going to sit here for like 10 minutes. I'm like, damn, man, that just happened. And I'm going to decompress and take in what we just talked about and everything. And I get goosebumps right now talking about it. And I'm starting to find out that these connections that I'm making, like with you and things like that. Cause I know maybe the next time I get upset about feeling depressed about music, now I can come to Andy and say, hey man, I'm a little down right now, dude. Like, do you think like, I just wanted to say, dude, thank you for our conversation the other night. And who knows what kind of conversation that'll spark or whatever. And
yeah, sure.
There's
yeah.
been many of people, I don't know if you know band Mushroomhead. Their ex-lead guitarist, Dave Gravy Felton. I mean, he's one of the most popular guitarists, I would say, arguably in the world ever, because, you know, they kind of created the new metal genre. And back in the early 90s, like 91, and he comes on my show and whenever I want him and stuff. And it's that, because I had their symbol tattooed on my arm when I was like 15, and it's just, that was I won't lie to you, dude. I was like sweating, man. And just, I never thought that these things would ever happen, man. I never thought it one day I'd be sitting here when I see you guys at Cornerstone and you're up there tearing up that stage. I never thought, what was it, like 07? I never thought 13, 14 years
Yes,
later, I'd be
dude,
sitting here talking,
the
you know?
world is crazy. It's a lot smaller than you think it is, especially because of the reachability and accessibility of everybody on the internet. And I mean, the one thing that I've found, like, is, you know, you'll never get the chance to do something, or the answer to your question will always be no if you don't try or if you don't ask. And so, like, I mean, dude, like, this is a whole nother
Very
thing,
true.
but I'm like trying to start this like burger pop-up thing with a buddy right now. And like, we're going to like go out and set up a burger stand and sell burgers to people. But also I'm going to try to wrap that into like my whole content thing on the internet. So like, I have a very meager, modest following on the internet, and I don't really like asking people for free stuff because it's sketchy. But like, I just went and emailed a ton of big cooler companies like Yeti and Orca and Igloo and all those like cooler companies trying to get some free coolers, because we need like 4 really big coolers, and those are going to be really expensive. And none of them, one of them got back to me and said no. None of the rest of them got back to me. And like, I knew that that was most likely the case when I sent all of them the messages. But the idea, you know, like, if you don't ask, you don't know. And so I just like, you know, reach for the stars sometimes, you know, be self-aware and don't be ignorant about shit. But man, fuck, if you want to talk to, I mean, you're probably not going to be able to talk to Chris Martin from Coldplay, but it's very well possible that you could get, you know, everybody's just a small step away from you, you know, like Tim Lambesis. You might be able to talk to that dude. You might.
Oh, dude, don't tell me that. I haven't taken my shot. He's, you know, regardless of what he's done, he's hands down my favorite metalcore vocalist of all time, and I love
like,
that man.
Which,
like, he's gotten
I mean,
me through literal fucking
everybody
hell.
Everybody approaches things differently, too. You know, I'm the kind of dude that says yes to most things that I can't say yes to, and there's other dudes that maybe have more to lose or their time is more precious, but, like, if you just catch the right dude on the right day, like you send Caleb Shomo a message and he's just bored sitting on his. Okay. See, so like,
I know Caleb. I know Caleb personally.
Like,
so
yeah,
it's
I'm fucking bored. Let's get online and do this, you know?
You know, well, with some people, it's like, I don't even know where to begin or how to get a hold of them. You know, with you, I was like, shit, I wonder if he has a Facebook. So I, you know, they typed in, I typed in Andy, or no, I forget, or Andy Dozer, I think, because I don't think I knew your last name. And I typed it in, and I think Google, and it was like the second thing that came up was your profile. So I went, clicked and added you, and I immediately sent you a message.
The hard thing you got to deal
with,
especially like,
so I mean, you're right.
Instagram, you know, or like, if you're not already friends with somebody, or if they're not following you, then if you send me a message on Instagram and I'm not following you, it automatically goes into this hidden folder, you know, and like, you have to, and I actively go into that folder and search it every day, which usually to say like a new message or something, but sometimes it doesn't. But
right.
I actively go into that folder every day to make sure that I've answered any of those questions. And like, but then, and I only have like 6,000 followers on Instagram. Like, but
that's good though. Organic. I mean, that's a lot.
Dudes,
you know, a lot
like,
of people pay for
know,
their followers.
Caleb,
so
he's probably got I'm just guessing $100,000 or something. Yeah. Those.
Ollie Sykes.
Right, so like,
Ollie Sykes probably has like 10 million,
no
literally.
In the world. It is impossible for him to answer everybody. And so I don't have, you know, any ill will towards that. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, man, if you try to send him a message, there's no way he's ever going to see it.
Yeah, I would need a management firm or something. I'd probably have to contact his label would be the best way to get a hold of him, you know, and then they're going to probably want money and this, that, and the third, you know, like But yeah, you're right. I mean, you never know. You got to take your shot. We're a little over an hour, so we're going to wrap her up. But I want to, by wrapping it up, I want you to go ahead and, like, if there's, I'm going to link anything you want me to link down below. But if there's a message
Dude,
or
for
anything you want to
sure.
say, man, now's the time.
All you can get to everything that I'm trying to spew out into the world by going to partyonforever.com. That'll link you to like my YouTube and my Instagram and merch store and Patreon and all that stuff. But the whole point of all of it, like my entire life existence, other than Rachel being my number one priority and focus in life, who is my wife, but wrapped up into that is this. This is my motto or leaving statement or whatever is, when we're kids, we believe that anything is possible, and we're happy and we're stoked, and no matter what we go through, it seems like we can just keep achieving and climbing and looking forward because there's an innocence and joy. And the older we get, we become more and more cynical, and life beats us down because of this dream fails, or this dream fails, or this person dies, or losing this opportunity, and seeing all the shit going on around the world. So we become very hard and cynical people. And in my opinion, I really think that it's supposed to be the opposite. And I think as we grow old, we're supposed to become more enlightened and enjoy our lives more with all the knowledge that we're taking in. And I want on my deathbed to die happy and look back and think about all the cool, positive shit that I've been able to be a part of. So the name Party On Forever is just me trying to encompass that idea of learning new things every day, giving back to the world, giving to your community, whether that be through knowledge or love or financially, whatever you can. For me, the way that I am able to give anything to anybody is I'm an open book and I like talking. So my shit is just being on the internet and trying to encourage people to be happy and to fulfill their dreams, whatever that dream is. So partyonforever.com. If any of that stuff sounds enjoyable to you, a lot of it is motorcycle related, but it's really just me trying to reach out to people and encourage them to live a better life and have fun while doing it. Dude, that's my spiel.
Dude, and I 100% support that. You heard it, folks. PartyOnForever.com. Hey, Andy, it was a
Dude,
pleasure having you
absolutely.
here,
I
man.
loved
And
it. It was great.
hopefully we'll do
And
this again soon.
dude, I don't know if you're still recording or whatever, but like I thought about doing the anchor thing. I signed up
Yeah,
for Anchor
yeah.
last year, actually, and then I never did anything with it. And I need to.
Do it. They're awesome. They're great people. They got me on Apple. They get you on everything. The only one I had to put myself on was iHeart. Fuck. There was a couple other ones, but I'm on like 15
That's
different
tight, dude.
platforms. They're awesome, man.
I'm glad
Anchor
it.
is fucking
Glad it's
awesome,
working
though.
out for you. And
I love
I
them.
plan on diving into it sometime too. I just need to make it.
Well, when you do, let me know, man. And I'll not that how
Sure,
much it'll
dude, I
help you, but
appreciate that.
I'll
That's the
shout you
thing I
out,
do know
whatever,
about
man.
podcasting is that it seems harder to get organic reach. At least on YouTube, you can trick the
It is.
algorithms
It
a little
is.
bit with hashtags and everything to get people to watch you. But on podcasting, it seems like it's literally just like word of mouth and trying to get.
It is. It's a different marketing scheme. Reddit. I
That's
found that
cool.
Reddit's huge. Reddit and Facebook groups. Yeah. Before we start talking for another hour, because I will. You'll
Word,
get me
yeah.
going again. I know I'll get you going again. It'll never end. This was awesome, dude. I really do appreciate your time, and I appreciate you as a
I
human
appreciate
being,
it,
dude.
dude.
We
Not
need
many
more
people
Andy
call me
Dozers in
Dozer
this
anymore,
world,
so
dude.
that's tight.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Dozer.
Yeah.
That's how I only really knew you know? But hey, man, it was a blessing
Absolutely.
having you here, dude.
Hell yeah.
PartyOnForever.com. Go check it out, folks. This is your host. You can subscribe to the podcast by going to anchor.fm/from the stash podcast and click that support button for 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. Please consider subscribing and keeping this dream alive. Thank you. Now on to the show, folks.